I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 453. We warned you about this one.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Sup.
How you doing?
I'm doing super magnificently well.
You're supposed to say, I'm super. Thanks for asking.
I'm not, though.
You're not super?
No, I'm regular.
Oh. Are you unleaded?
Yes, I am. I am
good.
Super
unleaded. That's good. That's good. That's good. See?
I'm so unleaded.
You ain't like, got no lead.
No lead.
Like, no lead. Zero.
None.
Zero. There's like zero parts per million lead.
Zilch.
Like it. All right. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about, including Pandalicious's pending burp.
I know. It's creeping up my stomach. I can feel it.
Waiting to pop out at the most.
It's like the drop of the New Year's Eve ball, except it travels up my stomach, up my throat, and out my mouth.
You know, I don't. Yeah. All that
could have been avoided. Throw up, except less.
Could have totally been avoided if only you had had some tact. Tact! Is it in you?
Nope.
So, obviously, we have all kinds of things to talk about related to Destiny. Before I jump into that. Yes. Yes. Look, I can be generous with my time. I can do more than just Destiny. Not a lot more, but I can do more than just play Destiny. I can put on clothes.
I can put on clothes.
I can bathe.
Take them off.
I can make sandwiches. I can make
I can make sandwiches for myself.
I can watch at midnight. You know, there's a lot of things that I can do that's not just Destiny.
You know, since we brought up sandwiches, I have realized that I have not had anyone in, like, the last year demand that I get in the kitchen and make a sandwich.
I know. It's really kind of interesting how much the gaming sphere, the community, has grown up in the last couple of years. I have not had anyone say, get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. Or really be that derogatory in a while. I haven't got a dick pic in like 6 months. It's kind of
awesome. Haven't gotten a dick pic in forever.
So I'm really super, super psyched about that.
Me too.
So I guess that's a plus side of Sony and Microsoft not bundling camera systems with their consoles. Less dick pics, 2016.
Good living.
You know, good, clean fun, people. That's what we're about here.
Yeah.
So with that said, before we jump into the game stuff, because yes, I am going to talk about The Taken King.
Me too.
We told you it was going to happen.
We warned you that this episode was coming.
Okay, and then we go back to my just having 5 minutes of Destiny in a podcast. If I so opt to talk about Destiny, I only get 5 minutes.
Right.
But this show is all about Taken King as far as the games we're playing. But before I get to the game stuff, I've actually been doing some playing around with a few different gadgets. And I've got some new ones coming in, so I will definitely be talking about them. I also finally got my hands on Disney Infinity 3, so I will be talking about that very soon. And, you know, Rock Band 4 is right around the corner, guys. October is closer than you think. So we're going to have a lot to talk about that's not just Destiny. But what I want to talk about right now is the gadget that
is my dick.
With. No. I want to talk about BB-8, the android.
But what? Oh, the little circle soccer ball from the Space Wars.
from Star the Star Wars Space Wars.
I'm a dick.
You are. Flame Wars just started. We haven't even released this podcast out to people.
Yep.
I feel the disturbance in the Force already.
They're like, she did what now?
Yeah. So her Twitter handle is Lady Esh, people. Direct it at that. Don't take it out on the ESH news handle. We didn't do it. It's not us.
It's not us. It's her.
So, the Force Day, which was when Target and a couple of other retailers got all of their merchandise that was related to the Force Awakens movie shipped to them ready for purchase. So, basically, it all went on sale. And I'm talking everything from books to binders to action figures. Obviously, even more figures for Disney Infinity, posters, like all the merch you could imagine, placemats, like shit that people don't even use anymore. And shelves were wiped out because, you know, nerds, the fandom is strong when it comes to Star Wars.
And, no, really?
Yeah, so I didn't even attempt to get into any of the midnight lines to get anything at all. I was like, there's just no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to walk out of here with something that I actually really want. So I'm like, I'll wait. And there are some things that, you know, most people weren't aware that they were even putting on sale. One of which was a toy that a company named Sphero was creating, which was a iOS or Android controllable robot. Little teeny tiny BB-8. Which BB-8, if you're not familiar with the Star Wars series, BB-8 is a droid. Think R2-D2, but cuter, because he's basically a soccer ball with another ball rolling on top of it. If you've seen
these
the trailer...
two balls yeah, that
basically.
Roll.
Well, half a ball on top of another.
Aww. He's like a half circle ball with a ball.
He's like a ball and a half.
Does he beep boop?
Hold on. So if you've seen the trailer, it's the little droid that you see rolling across the screen before you start seeing most characters.
Do you see that little droid Pedro kicking it into a goal?
No. And so I thought that the droid was really interesting because you could actually control him. So it's a mechanical device. You pair it and use it over Bluetooth for my iOS device. And it costs about $150. And immediately sold out at the Targets near me. Like, before, I think, like, 9 a.m., because I called one at 7. They were like, nope, don't have any, nope. Sorry, I should have gotten in line, nope. And I was like, totally not happening. I like to sleep, and I'm an adult, so no. So I waited, and I checked Amazon, because, you know, I live that prime life. I like things delivered to me. That includes gadgets, as well as food. But also, back-ordered, like crazy. They started getting play. They were doing, Sphero, the company that made the robot, was doing the circuit for morning TVs because it's really cute and it is controllable. So to answer your question, does it beep boop? Yes, it does beep boop.
Beep boop, 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 yep. Beep.
It beep boops, it boop boops, it beep boops, and boop boops. It does all the boops, which is interesting. You have some control over some pre-programmed responses. So there's a positive response and a negative response that you can trigger. You control its motion. So just like an RC car, I can navigate him around my house. He basically has a gyro in him that and some gears. And so you have a light that you position what direction you want to aim BB in. And then you use a control to have him move slowly or fast, I should say quickly, in that direction. He also has a mode that you can turn on to have him basically explore, which allows you to put him on your floors, and much like a Roomba, he'll just wander all around your house, bumping into stuff, and if he gets upset because he's bumped up into too many things, he'll glow red, and he'll start beeping and booping furiously, like he's very upset. Or if he bumps into something and accidentally knocks his head off, because, again, you can move him completely 360, so it's not like it's a fixed position head. So the head does roll around the whole body, and it connects via magnetism. But it's not too strong of a magnet, so you can knock his head off, and he just spins in a circle and turns red when you knock his head off. Or if your dog knocks his head off. like-minded, but she finally got up enough courage to try and snip at him. It took 2 days before she was like, no, I'm gonna get close to it, because I did chase my little dachshund around the house with BB-8, and she ran and barked and ran and barked, which was the most adorable thing, because when one adorable thing chases another adorable thing,
it's just too much adorable.
It's cute overload, basically. But she did finally get enough courage to get close enough to snip at him and knock his head off. And then he spun in a circle. She really didn't like that, so she jumped on her bed to hide. Which, again, more adorableness. But it's really fun to use when you can get it working. I think the only negative thing that I have to say about BB-8 right now is that...
That the head falls off?
No, it's actually kind of cute when the head falls off, and it makes sense that it should fall off, because he's a droid, and sometimes droids have problems, and they're missing pieces. Like, this is what happens. But the thing that is most infuriating for me about it is that the documentation on how to get up and running with BB-8 is very sparse. You know, the boxing is great, and, you know, the quick setup guide that you have uses a lot of photos, but it really just drives you to get the app. Once you have the app, it doesn't really give you clear directions on what you need to do. For example, BB, because he's Bluetooth based, comes with a charging stand that he sits on that you connect to USB. And there are a series of lights on the stand that blink to let you know that he's charging. And so the instructions say, get the app. And the app says, great, now pair me with BB. And so to pair your phone with BB-8, you have to make sure that your Bluetooth is on, and then you have to hold your phone close, and it will tell you if you're not close enough. It gives you a drawing that shows when it's able to, quote-unquote, see and pick up all the reception stuff that it wants from BB or not on your phone. And so after, no lie, timer on, 22 minutes of holding my phone next to this robot, it didn't connect, and I couldn't figure out why, and it was really driving me crazy. Plus, my arm hurt like a motherfucker, so I gave up on it for a little bit. And went and did some other things, prep for Destiny, that kind of stuff. Went online the next morning and looked it up, and sure enough, there are other people that were complaining that the documentation wasn't very clear, that you would not be able to pair your phone with BB until he was fully charged.
Oh.
And so when the lights are blinking, he's charging. They go solid when he's completely charged. Did not know that. So I went back, put my robot back on the stand, waited for the lights to go solid, fired up the app, and of course within like 30 seconds it paired, and a little noise went on, and then he started trying to move around. And
what, was the sound of whoop?
No, it was a couple of chimes, and then a light series went off, and so he went from like yellow to blue to red, and then back to yellow, and it kind of throbbed for a second. So I took him, yeah, it did. So I took him out of his base, and I was able to roll him around. The next day, I went to go play with him, and I figured, hey, I've already paired BB, so I'm all set. I should be able to just take him down, turn him on, and we could go. And I fire up the app, and it's like, oh, you've got to pair with BB. And I'm like, I already paired with BB. Why am I pairing with BB again?
Keep pairing with BB, bitch.
Yeah, pretty much that's what it is. So it's like he forgets that he ever knew you.
He's like, beep, beep, boop, boop.
And so every time you want to take control of the robot, when you take him from his stand, you have to connect, and you have to connect correctly. If you spend too much time getting the connection going, like I did, and it took me 8 minutes before I finally was able to get it close to actually making the full circle and connecting, you run down too much battery, you can't connect because he's not fully charged. So you then have to put him back on the base and let him charge for a few minutes to get fully charged. So
very fickle, this BB.
Yeah, so I think that there's definitely some software updates that these guys need to do, and probably something that they'll do firmware-wise, because like I said, he does have a base and connects via USB, so it'd be very easy to connect to a computer to do some firmware updates. So it's version one of a really clever robot to begin with. I mean, getting his head to stay on, like, it moves all around his body. There's a demo mode that he has when he's on his base station, that if you hit a button, he'll go through a whole bunch of actions, like he's talking to you, and his head will move in different places of his body.
He is talking to you.
It's very, very cute. I love the toy. I love playing with it around the house. I think that once I get things a little bit more organized, because I have a lot of uneven floors in my place, and I have a lot of stuff on my floors in my place, I definitely would love to put on the explore mode and just kind of see what happens.
He'll be like a Roomba that doesn't suck up dirt.
Yeah, he just grabs dust bunnies, because I have lots of dust bunnies. But it's really, once it's working, a lot of fun to play with. And so I'm glad that I have it. I'm definitely, definitely going to be playing with this thing more. I don't think I'll travel with it, because I don't think that there's a lot of people that would understand TSA-wise what he is. Or they would, and they would take him and confiscate him for some bullshit reason. So if you're on the fence about getting a BB-8, if you are a nerd or geeky in any way, shape, or form, if you've ever in a public conversation with non-nerdy people made a reference to something not being the something that someone is looking for, then you definitely should have this droid in your life.
Don't be BB late. Get the BB-8.
I don't think that I would recommend it for kids.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say that is, one, you have to have an iOS or Android smart device for the app to work him, and it does take a lot of patience to get, like, controls down, because they're not super, super intuitive. And, you know, it's a pricey toy for a young one. So I would say probably if you were thinking about getting BB-8 for one of your kids, if they're 14 and up, you know, the responsible type.
But not all 14-year-olds are responsible.
That's why I said the responsible type. Then I would definitely say that BB-8.
If your 14-year-old has a FICO score of over 800, he can get one.
Yeah, he can get one without you. But if you have an older child that you're thinking about getting this for, I would definitely say the more responsible types, the ones who take care of the things that
If your kid does not have college loans, he can get one.
And, you know, 14 and up, I would say, is probably the best range to be thinking about getting it. Anything younger, and I don't think that they would
understand.
Keep interest with it. You know, once you get the main control down and the couple of commands that you can issue, and you can also have BB-8 if you've sent him on explore mode, you can basically summon him back to his base. So if you're sitting next to the base, there's a command.
Get back on your base, BB!
And he will trace himself back to his stand, which is cool. So that way your dog doesn't abscond with your BB-8. But like I said, it is a pricey tool for a child. And I don't think that kids under 14 will have the dexterity and really the mental want to keep with it after the initial novelty wears off of, oh, look, it's a rolling soccer ball with another ball on top. I think after they see the Star Wars movie, that may change. And hey, if you got it like that and you want to get your kid a present like that, go for it. But I would definitely say 14 and up for BB-8. And definitely somebody who, you know, is into RC and is into Star Wars. It's a great, great, fun little toy. I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Okay. It's the time that we have all been waiting, dreading for.
Dun, 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 dun.
Not even. It's not even cool enough to get
Game of Thrones.
Hey. Open it. How dare you?
What we're about to talk about is actually pretty cool.
It is.
So don't be like that. Don't be hating, Panda. You can't be hating. You have fun. Don't lie. Don't lie. Yeah, don't lie. All right, time to talk Destiny, Taken King, guys. Grab your beverage. Hey, if you don't like Destiny, tune out now. Next week we'll be talking about other things that are not Destiny, but for right now...
Except for those 5 minutes, maybe.
Except for those 5 minutes. But right now, it's time for Destiny Love Fest. So here it goes, Taken King. Prefaced some of the things that were going to happen weeks ago on another show. And I gotta tell you guys, now that I am, geez, at this point, four or five days, I can't even remember, almost a week in to Taken King, I have to say, previously in the game, once you got to the level cap really of 20, a lot of people felt like, well, there's nothing left to do. But even before the DLC of House of Wolves and, what was the other one? It was the Queen stuff.
The Dark Below stuff.
There we go. That's what it was. But even before those dropped, people were like, I mean, okay.
Four speaker box and the Love Below. Like,
yeah, it's pretty much that's what it was. But there were a lot of people who were like, hey, all right, so I reached the cap and now I can just run the same strikes that I've already been running at this point, like three or four times, in the hopes of maybe possibly getting an Engram that, if I was really, really lucky, stayed the color that it was when I first picked it up, and maybe I got a item that would raise my light, which was good for some reason. Like, it was never clear why you needed light, just that if you had more light, it was good, and if you didn't have more light, it was bad, and if you had gear that had really high light, then you wanted to keep that, and you wanted to maybe...
chuck everything else.
Their perks to work, and you chucked everything else. And then it was just the rigmarole of running strike playlists to get...
Well, marks. Running that to get the gear to then do a raid to get raid gear so that you'd have the best gear to ever gear.
Right. And then you had nothing to do
and then you were done. Like
gear because everything was below you, except
well,
MVP.
Then you would go and roll your additional character and do the same thing over again.
Right. But you eventually got to the point where you rolled all characters. You had three characters.
Well, not all of us got that far.
Well, some of you should have. And some of you will now because Destiny's made it even easier. But basically, even with the DLCs that were dropped, you got a couple of extra missions and a new raid. But for really good players, players who had invested, you know, thousands of hours at this point, almost, in the game, it really didn't feel like there was much else to do. And one critique that the game has gotten since day one is there wasn't any story there, or it wasn't present enough to make it interesting enough to keep a lot of people engaged with the game. You know, you had to dig through the grimoire cards, which were basically information bundles that you learned, that you earned throughout playing the game, but you actually didn't get to see them in the game. You'd have to go to the Bungie website to see them. So there was a lot of backstory about various characters that are, you know, ubiquitous in the world, and you don't know about them unless you go to Bungie.net. The Bungie team has completely changed all that with Taken King. Taken King actually has a story. The Taken King DLC activates and uses a bunch of the Vanguards to actually tell the story. They're involved, so it's not just, I have a mission for you. Here, read.
Go do this thing.
Flavor
Thank
text.
Thank you, Guardian, for doing that thing. Here's flavor a thing text. For doing the thing.
Flavor text. And then that's it. They now are actually part of the story, much like Petra talked in your ear if you did the House of Wolves DLC as you were doing missions. All the Vanguards are now involved in multiple
quests. They're talking to you because you are the special.
And guiding you, the player.
To the Fraggle. Guardian.
Basically. Basically.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting just how different the game feels now that that mechanic is part of the storytelling. And before, where you hit level cap and you're like, all right, well, I really don't have much else to do except try to get all the raid gear variants that are out there and all of the shaders.
And all the king's horses and all the king's men.
I'll have all the stuff and be done. Now, getting to 40 is just the beginning of what you can do and what there is to do in Destiny with the Taken King DLC. Now, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about are only going to be available to you if you've purchased the Taken King DLC. If you've already purchased the game previously or DLC packs for it previously, the Taken King DLC is $50. $40. $50?
$40.
Yeah, $40.
$39.99.
And for anybody that bought the game and bought any DLC pack, I will tell you that the Taken King DLC pack is better just for the variants of things that you get for it than the previous DLC packs. So if you have to pick one, freaking go with the Taken King. But get them all so you have the whole experience. Like I said, the game now has a story, and it's actually kind of engaging. There's banter and play amongst the Vanguards that you get to listen to over comms. Everybody has been, I would say, integrated into the world better. So Eris Morn is no longer off in that weird corner on the tower. She's actually
down. She's not that loner who doesn't want to talk to anybody. Now she's the loner near all the cool kids.
And I also feel like they lightened up her face. And they lightened up her voice a little bit.
You look at her face, Just kidding.
I always look at her face. But I do think that they actually added some color and made Eris a little bit more, I don't want to say feminine, but softer. So that she doesn't just, you know, feel like a jilted ex-girlfriend off in the corner complaining
about... She still sounds like a jilted ex-girlfriend. But now her and Cade have some nice back-to-back.
Yes, yes, there's definite back-and-forth.
So you get to enjoy her dry delivery to his witty snaps that you can clearly tell she's not getting right away. And that's why her comebacks, if she has one, is a lot later on.
Look, I'm just saying right now, Taken King is better because they use Nathan Fillion way more, and that makes me happy.
When you have Nathan Fillion, you use Nathan Fillion.
Correct. Correct. Okay?
Like, you don't just have him sitting there like, hey, I'm Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. I'll say
like,
one line.
And sadly, our friend Nathan, like, he's not, you know, Captain Hammer-ish anymore. He's, like, End of Castle-ish now. So, you know, his time is...
He can be Captain Hammer anytime he wants to be Captain Hammer. Okay.
I don't know. He's getting a little old man puds. You've seen him in Castle.
Right now, because he doesn't have to be...
Strikingly handsome and witty.
No, he is strikingly handsome and witty. But he doesn't have to be Captain Hammer, strikingly handsome and witty, because they didn't put him in the Nathan Drake role. So I don't have to work out like a beast like that. If you're not going to actually let me be a character that you really should let me be, because if anybody is Nathan Drake.
And I mean, and then you have the Titan Vanguard guy.
Zavala.
Yes.
Commando Zavala.
Who is the guy from that skit, the Toys R Me guy. And now every time I hear his voice, if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link in the podcast post because it will... It will enlighten you to the guy who plays him. And now every time you listen to that Vanguard talk to you, you're going to be like, ugh. Like, you're going to get slightly creeped out, but intrigued, but slightly creeped out.
So let's talk some of the new mechanics.
Okay, well, I mean, I have not done a lot.
I have done a bunch. And
you've done more than me.
It's barely the tip of the iceberg. Like, I really thought so. I took
the tip of the penis, guys.
It really is just the tip. So here's the deal. I took the day off of work.
I didn't because I have responsibilities.
I have responsibilities too, but I also have vacation time. So I took a day off of work so I could play because I really wanted to be very prepared for this podcast because I wanted to do it right. You know how I feel about Destiny. And I had planned to play so I could get to 40. I wasn't sure what my level was going to be when I turned the system on Tuesday, but I was really trying to edge all my characters so that I could just run one or two missions and have packages waiting so I could get new gear, all that kind of stuff. I was ready to go. At least I thought I was. I jumped on the system at like midnight. I played till 3 that morning when the system rolled and I got booted out. So I got the last digs in on a couple of missions. I was really hoping that I would be at the point where I could get a missive for another legendary weapon, but I didn't quite get enough
XP
to do it. Ugh. Yeah. Went to sleep, woke up, character light levels were raised, which was awesome. My overall level stayed the same for all my characters, but because leveling was built to XP, by the time I had woken up from my nap and looked, half of my buddy list, friends list on PlayStation, which is primarily guys in the clan that I run around with, half of them were already at 40. And the rest of them were at, like, 38 and 39. And so I messaged one of my friends. I'm like, dude, how'd you get to 38 already? I'm like, you've only been awake for, like, 4 hours. He goes, dude, you will cruise to 40. If you were 34 to begin with, you know how to game most of the quest things that's going to run you through. But you're going to get the better XP for them. So just do your quest. You'll be 40 in no time. And he was right. Because less than 3 hours later, I was closing in on 40. But the level cap isn't the be-all, end-all of the game. The level cap, as far as 40, that's really just there to open up the higher-level stuff for you to be able to participate in it. It doesn't just give you a bunch of stuff. So all of the better weaponry and armor that you can get from the various vanguards, you can only get as a baseline starting at when you're level 40, but there are other criteria that you have to meet. The same way with some quests. There are some quests that you can't run until you're level 40. You can't attempt the weekly strike or the nightfall strike until you're level 40. And even at that, you also want to have really, really high light levels. So 40 isn't the end, like 20 was the end. And then they were like, no, we've got more stuff. 40 is really just the gate opener to like, all right, so you've been able to earn enough XP. You've had enough time to be experienced with the different worlds that we're going to send you to. So now we're going to send you to some all new stuff as well as that stuff that you played before. And that stuff that you thought you knew like the back of your hand. We're going to introduce new monsters and new pitfalls in those levels that you're not going to be prepared for. But yeah, better learn quick.
With my fear of heights so far from my experience.
There's a lot of that happens. There are more missions that are like that.
Like, literally, no lie. Like, when I did, because I'm not nearly as far in the new content because I kind of put myself in the position of saying, let me get as high level as possible. Because, I mean, with the reset that they did the Tuesday before, like, you could go through the whole story chain again.
And earn XP and earn different weapons.
Which is exactly what I decided I was going to do. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch the new content until I get through a bunch of the, parentheses, abandoned quests. So I wanted to tackle all those out.
I'm going
to
warn you right now. As you do quests and you complete them, new quests are given to you in their place. So you will never have a completely empty, abandoned quest thing.
Really?
Yeah. So let me stop you right there.
My Void Walker and my Sunslinger paths are both at number 8 where I have to do the strike stuff.
Yep.
And, like, shoot Nova bombs or, like, be all glowing.
Yeah. And so you'll finish those and you'll trade them in and you get bonds, new bonds for your Warlock for those. And then as soon as you do that, you're going to be given other quests. So you are never without a quest.
Oh, okay. Because I was sitting there going, oh, man, I'll clear this all out, and then I'll do... That was my plan, was I was going to take all that out and then go into the new content.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I lost interest after I had run the raid with Crota and we succeeded. Because to me, that was endgame because there wasn't anything else out yet.
Right.
And I get in the habit of...
Saying eerily a lot? Yes.
Well, yes, I do, but that's where I was going. I stopped myself. But I find myself, especially with games that have an MMORPG or like a leveling system, that when I get someone into the realm of endgame, that the minute that character has achieved that, like it happened to me in WoW, as soon as I hit that cap and I had that one successful raid and I got like my tier blah, blah, blah stuff, I was done. And I'd roll, like, alt characters, but I would never do anything with them in a strong way that I would my main. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what happened with me with Destiny, is that I rolled my Warlock because I loved the Warlock the minute I saw the class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I play her exclusively. I do have a Hunter now. I do. And through the graces of the nice little trinket that they gave all year one.
You have a 26.
She's 25.
Okay.
She's only 25.
All right, so you...
But I have her. She has all her... You know, the sad thing is that my 25 Hunter is only, like, 10 light points lower than my main is right now. And she's wearing nothing but greens and blues. And I'm like, really? Really right now? Are you serious?
Well, and it's one of the things that I think that Bungie did, and it's one of the smartest things that I think that they did, was creating that crystal system to allow people who are just entering the game at the Taken King to be able to play with their friends who've been playing it for months by dropping them in and giving them a decent set. And they even said on the live stream, the Bungie team, that we'll give you a decent set of armor and weapons to get you started. So, you know, you just need to do some things for your Warlock. And you'll be fine. Now, the things that you want to do for your Warlock. I'm going to give you guys all of my recommendations for things to do and try to, one, get you to 40 so that you can open up the world. Because when I say open up the world, that opens up the exotic engrams blueprint. So if you had several of the year one exotics, you can actually get their year two counterparts. Not every year one exotic has a year two counterpart, but a big chunk of them do. Like Last Word, like Truth, Thunderlord. What's the one that you have, the red one?
I have Red Death.
Red now. Death has a year two blueprint. So if you already had it in year one, you can walk up to the kiosk and for some glimmer, get the more powerful 290 damage version of that gun, which is pretty nice.
Yes.
As well.
I mean, I like my Red Death, but it is currently, and that's kind of the sad thing that, you know, I noticed jumping into the game right back, is that I worked so hard for a bunch of my exotics.
Yeah.
And for all of them that I currently have.
They do 170.
And then I go look at a green, and it has, like, 192. And I'm like,
yeah, it hurts a little bit.
WTF.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit. It hurts
a little bit. And I'm like, I could sit here, Icebreaker, and we could shoot things together.
And Icebreaker still does hella damage. It does.
And it does replenish it. But, like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, but I could take this sidearm and be doing more damage. And, like, let me just see what it does, Icebreaker. And, like, I equipped it, and, like, my light level was, like, 179. I'm like, fuck. Okay. Icebreaker, you can come with me.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to equip you.
And the Icebreaker
right
does come in handy for a couple of missions down the road, for sure. But you definitely want to take advantage of the newer weapons, which is what the team said. They said, look, for those year one weapons, there are some that are just near and dear. You worked really hard. Keep them. You know, you can go back to your exotic engrams at any point in time and pull out a year one or year two one from the blueprint once you've had it. So you don't have to carry it all the time. You can go back and get it, but it will be, you know, not the beefed up version if you beefed up yours. It'll be at the base level, you know, to have to rebuild it if you get it from the blueprint kiosk. But you can infuse it. All exotics, with the exception of, like, a couple that are kind of, you know, dickish, like Gjallarhorn, you can't infuse yet. But more than likely, you will be able to do that. And what infusion lets you do is take a weapon and infuse, take another one of a similar type, so a rare for rare, a legendary into a legendary, an exotic into an exotic. But you can infuse one weapon with another to basically increase its stats. So you could infuse, if I remember correctly, your Red Death, but since you already have it, you'd be better off just getting the blueprint for the year two.
Yeah, but I got the Red Death in year two. I did not get it in year one.
Oh, well then you already have the souped up Red Death.
No.
Yes. Because
no.
Red Death year two does 290. All exotics
in year two. It's not, no.
Then you didn't get it year two. You got a year one drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have an exotic and it only does 170 damage, it's year one.
Yeah. It's only a year one.
Yeah.
It's not in a year two, but I got it on the first day that year two went live.
Yeah, so that was just a bug.
It was weird. I logged in, and my character was all on the tower, just minding her own business, and she was walking towards the speaker, and then it just descended from the sky, and I was like, oh, I guess I have this now. And I wasn't working for it, because I did get super good advice Tuesday before.
Do you want me to tell you what it was?
Yeah.
So it was a lotto thing. So basically, for year one people, remember how a bunch of people were upset?
Yes.
They announced Taken King, because initially they announced Taken King at the full price of $89.99, like buying a full
game
plus $79.99. And there were a lot of people who were like, whoa, 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 I pre-ordered your game, I got the two other DLC packs, and now you're telling me that I basically have to buy it like it's a whole new, brand new game
just when
to
get this not
DLC? You're crazy. And then the guy at Bungie misspoke, and it kind of blew up on the internet. They're like, whoa, 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 we're not saying that.
Your tits, Destiny. Yeah,
basically, that's what they said. And they were like, so here's what we're going to do. For everybody who already bought it, we're going to let you get this version of it. It's not going to have the extra perks that we're putting in the $89 version one, which was like some extra emotes and a fancy shader and a weapon and a sparrow. And they're like, you're not going to get those. But here's what we're going to do. For the year one folks, Okay, we're going to give you a special shader and sparrow and a gift. And they didn't
clarify what the gift was
going to be for being with us and being so loyal. Then on top of that, they stacked the hay. So there are these moments of triumph. And these are biggies that we think that, you know, you can only achieve when you have really explored the game very well and you've worked with teams and things like that. And they listed out, like, all these different things. A certain amount of orcs that you had to kill, a bunch of strikes that you had to do, like, all different kinds of stuff. Completing various endgame things for the DLC and whatnot. And so if you completed all the moments of triumph before taking King Drop, you also got a special emblem and shader. So there are all kinds of extra things that you could get for being year one. The gift that they gave year one folks was a random legendary, exotic weapon. I got Monte Carlo, and it was a year one Monte Carlo drop. So that's probably how you got Red Death.
Okay, because, yeah, I did do it. I was just walking.
Yeah, and the gift that most people got was a year one exotic that had a year two blueprint.
Oh, so that you could beef it up.
So that you could get the beefy version when you had the money.
Got it.
And so I got Monte Carlo, and I was like, you couldn't have given me Thorn? Really, guys?
Because they know you wanted it so bad.
I want Thorn so bad still.
That's why they didn't get, because they want you to want it so bad.
But like I said, there's so much to do. I don't know where to begin anymore when I start in Destiny. You know, before I
jumped in. Ain't that a damn shame?
It's a damn shame, but in a good way. In a really good way. Because before I would jump in and be like, all right, I'm either going to run raid with a bunch of people, or I've got a friend who's a newbie who I'm going to help because we're going to go and do all their missions at the two levels higher than them, and I'll kill everything so they can get the XP and level really quickly. So I'm going to do a bunch of guide missions, or I'm going to go in, I'm going to do a bunch of wolf patrols because I want to beef up stuff with the queen because I just want to. I like purple, so I want them perp shaders. So, like, I knew exactly what I was going to do, and then I was going to be out. And if I was just bored with anything, I would end up running Nightfall with my friends who were trying to run it on alt characters, or just do strike playlists for, like, 15 minutes and then be out. Like, that's how I played Destiny. And I enjoyed it, because it was enough of doing stuff with my friends, and doing stuff to, you know, just be trying to do some better motion with my thumb, because, you know, I have the motion control issues, so it is a test for me to actually be good at the game. But I kind of use it as rehab like that. Because there wasn't anything else to do. Like, there were no other missions. There were, you know, I could just replay all the ones that I'd already done, but I wasn't going to get anything new, so why do that? Taken King is completely different. The quest line piece really so dramatically changes the game, because now you have these quests that have multiple steps that you have to complete. So each quest in itself is a mini story. And there are pieces that are brought to life by various vanguards, by grimoire cards that you get. And also there's much more dialogue that happens now because of Ghost as you go through missions, that you do get more of the story and more of the feel. So while I miss Peter Dinklage's voice, because I do miss Dinklebot's voice, I do think that the team has done a great job by using Ghost to give you more of that story and more of the stuff that's going on and set up and create an atmosphere when you're in a level, as opposed to, oh, there's a thing, blow it up. All right, duck behind here. Okay, come on up, blow it up. Like, there are other things that are going on.
I think for me, jumping into the game before Taken King dropped and hearing Drakebot, Nolan Northbot.
Like,
I was kind of pulled out of it because, you know, we've had Dinklage for quite a while. I was expecting that dry wit and that AI persona to kind of come in.
I miss the gravitas. I love Nolan Northbot.
And,
Northbot has no gravitas.
Here's the thing, though. So, like, while I was doing my old stuff and going through the missions and listening to Nolan Northbot, and having my issues, but then not having my issues, jumping into, and like I said, I have not completed the new content. I'm still very at the beginning of it.
I have not completed the new content. I've only completed one piece of the story.
Like, I'm probably halfway through the first bit, because I'm a warlock.
Taking it to Oryx is only like a sliver of what's going on. You think it's the thing, the way it was built? You think, oh yeah, it's the thing.
No, there's always another thing.
And you're done. No.
There's always another thing. But my warlock got her Stormcaller, her third subclass, and she just made her essentially her docking pad so that she can go on the Dreadnought. Spoilers. Yep. But that's all that my character's done.
It's not a spoiler. Everybody's going to the Dreadnought.
Everyone's done it. So you're, and if you haven't, if you
you're
play
gonna,
it,
you're about to go to the Dreadnought.
That's where you're going to go.
That's where you go.
But that's all I've done. But doing the few missions that are exclusively the Taken King, Nolan North's delivery in those sound better.
Agreed.
And I think that's only because, one, we haven't heard another voice do it. Like, if Dinklage had done all of this, and then we had, like, but as I was doing those missions, I'm like, oh, my, his personality suits what we're doing.
Yep.
Here at the Dreadnought more than, you know, when
Dreadnought.
I'm taking
it. Dreadnought. Dreadnought.
Dragonnought. Dragon Ball. I'm gonna call whatever the fuck I want to call it.
But it's
Dreadnought. It's the drag donut.
It's the drag donut.
It's a drag donut. It's a very fierce cruller. It's fierce. Don't you tell me how to say it. I'll say whatever I want.
I just have an image of a fierce cruller in my head right now.
It's like, I am so good and I'm light too, bitch. Casting all the shade.
Oh my god. I can't even, and I'm sober.
But anyway. Oh. But
fierce
his
cruller.
Voice suits the content. So I think over time, we will not have such a strong judgment. But if you're doing older stuff, then you might be like, oh, I remember when, like, when you meet the stranger.
Yes.
On Venus, and she's calling him Little Light.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't do that. I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm like, I hate to say this, Nolan Bot, but I feel like with your AI personality, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of cute. I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't imagine him getting huffy about it.
Yeah.
But okay. Dinklage, obviously, we know for other reasons, but mm-hmm. Nolan North, I don't think his...
You buy the huffy...
You do, but you don't buy it from Nolan. Yeah. You're like, oh, be quiet, Little Light.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just going to push you out of the way because you literally don't have arms and I can do that.
Exactly.
So, one other thing about Nolan Bot, and then I'll stop.
Okay.
I do find him exceptionally cute. Like, he is the cutest thing.
The bot or Nolan North?
The bot. Well, Nolan North as the bot, because during the cinematic where he's talking and he's like, I've been staring up at the, not at the sky, but he's like, I have looked a very long time for you.
Yes.
Like when he kind of got like boyfriend, like trying to be romantic, like it kind of got romantic for a minute.
Yes, and I'm like, because he did search for hundreds of years
to find
you.
He searched for you. Because you are the one. And he saw all these other ghosts with their guardians, and he was so worried that he didn't have a guardian until he found, like, I was like, damn, Nolan, you coming at me on the emotional here.
But here's like, the thing that I really liked about that, was that it finally explained that it wasn't like ghosts were just, like, roaming planets for corpses and being like, you'll do, but they actually were looking for very specific things, and so a ghost is meant to be with a guardian.
Right.
And they had never explained that before.
No.
Okay? So like, Dinklage's like, oh, there you are. Okay, we gotta go. Get in the building. I'm like,
I don't
even
have time to explain why I don't have time to explain.
I can't even make a profile. We just gotta run.
But I mean, like, it was such a nice bonding moment. Like, it was very well done. And I was just like, aw, I'm getting companion cube feels. And you can talk to me. So, this is good. Like, this was good character building. I thought my guardian and the ghost were bonding.
Yeah.
And it felt nice.
They definitely have done a much better job with that. The environments feel better. The music has definitely improved. Some of the ambient stuff now when you're out floating in orbit sounds different. And it's actually nice. I kind of use it as, like, screensaver music when I'm doing work in my living room. I just go to orbit and just kind of chill and let that music play. I will say, like I said, completing the quote-unquote storyline is just the tip of all the things that you can do. Because, as I said, as you complete quest lines, guess what? New quests pop up in their place and have you going to different angles of a mission. So you visit same planets like you've done before, except now you have more places on the Dreadnought to explore, in addition to the Moon and Venus. And the Dreadnought's on Saturn, so Saturn is a world that is now opened up to us in the universe. But
Phobos.
Yeah. Even though you're going back to those worlds, and they're worlds that you've traversed before, the enemies are different and they attack you differently, because you have Taken enemies now. And the Taken are basically... Oryx has the ability to absorb.
And completely and utterly take over your will. Your will is gone.
And then reproduce it at will, built out of, all I can say is, flaming light. but it's more powerful. So he takes everything, one of everything that you fought before. So he takes Cabal Commandos and Legionnaires.
He takes all the douchey guys and he takes them. And, makes and now they become even more douchier.
Okay, some of them can split in half while you're fighting them.
And that's not even the half of it. That freaking phalanx, which is, oh, by the way, I'm going to knock you off shit now. I'm not just going to use my shield to, like,
push you back.
I'm going to push you off like a bitch.
Yeah.
If you haven't told, one pushed me off something and I died.
Yeah.
Because he's a punk-ass bitch.
I kind of picked up on that.
Anyway, I get really aggressive. Anyway, so.
So it's a new take on an enemy that you thought that you knew.
And you already hated, because you all hate the Phalanx and don't even try to tell me you don't, because nobody likes the Cabal.
Nobody likes the Cabal.
And here I thought, like, oh man, like, everyone's like, oh man, like, the Fallen got their own DLC, and we had a whole time with the Hive, and it's like, no one likes the Cabal. Well, you know what? You've now made the Cabal even more hated by them being taken.
Well, the Cabal are basically a big piece of this story, because
they're a big piece of fuck you, is what they are.
They're primarily what you end up fighting on the Dreadnought, because they have their ship that has crashed into the Dreadnought.
Yeah, I'm about to do that mission, so no spoilers.
Okay. I'll try.
Yeah, try to walk around it.
Ultimately, completing the story and taking on Oryx, which is a heck of a fight, in that it's not crazy. Like, Athion is actually much more difficult. You know, surprise, surprise.
I boss. Never fought Athion.
You didn't do Vault of Glass?
Like, okay.
Oh, you didn't do Vault of Glass on hard.
No. Nope. Normal.
Oh, sucks to be you. You need to do it on hard. Yeah, you can fix that. Athion's a good boss there to fight.
Anyway,
so he's not as hard as Athion to beat, or Crota. Like, Crota was a bitch, and then Crota wasn't a bitch, and you could, with the right team, complete Crota in under 15 minutes.
It is, but you have to have the right team.
Yes.
You have to have everybody willing to be on the same page, not always questioning how things get done.
No, you don't question. You follow team leader into raid. Successful raid, everybody gets loots.
That's not what happens all the time. Sometimes
you need to switch up your teams, bro.
Sometimes people have really good ideas.
Right.
And while they are valid, some other people are like, no, we're going to do it like A. And person's like, but B, C, D, E, F, G. And we're all like, it's been the eighth time. And every time we're so close. And if someone could just, you know, just.
No, it's real simple. Everybody get on the ledge. Take out Swordbearer using snipers.
Hey, you Titans, bubble when I tell you to bubble.
Exactly, Titan bubbles to pull aggro.
All the bubbles. Warlock, don't spend your res.
Keep it. Yep, keep res.
Pop it if I tell you to.
Titan pops bubble to pull aggro from the knights. And then you have a hunter who can hide themselves, run sword, because they can get three hits in on Crota.
Oh my god, we never thought about running a hunter to get the sword.
Yeah, you run a hunter to get the sword with Blade Dancer so they can be invisible. So that way they can swipe at Crota twice, go invisible, so he turns around like, oh, there's nobody here. They can pick up the sword again.
And my god, we just had the leader. He would just get it.
Oh,
but he was a warlock. We never had a hunter do it.
Oh, have a hunter with the quick step and the agilities with the Blade Dancer so they could go invisible run it.
So, all right. Well, that's...
Anyway, so you need to run raid with my guys. Obviously, see how it's done. But for year two stuff, which we haven't even at the point where we're recording this podcast been able to run the raid. The raid is just coming out. But
yeah, you have to have, like, a light score of, like, 275 to even really do any type of damage.
Correct. So your light really does matter. So, you know...
It's like you're the size of your penis.
I don't want to talk about your penis.
It matters.
Anyway.
All dicks matter.
Stop it. Stop it.
No. Going back to what we can talk about in year two.
Can I finish my damn point? Because I'm really trying to. And you keep blocking me. on my damn point.
Hey, I'm actually involved in the conversation.
I know, I'm really excited about that. But as I was saying, getting through the story and taking out Oryx is just the start of it, because you will have continuing things that you have to do for the Taken. One of them is when you finish it and you're like, oh yeah, all right, so it's all done. Oh man, now I'm just going to have like Vault, you know, a raid to look forward to, and then I'm going to do Strike Playlist. No, there are continuing missions for the Taken King, one of which is to actually go to the Dreadnought and set up all the things and scout all the things that you need to in order to make it a patrollable area. So you actually have to go in. You know those beacons that we've seen and all these...
Oh, you have to plant beacons?
You have to plant beacons. You have to...
get out.
Yeah, yeah. You have to observe various areas where fighting's happening and who's fighting and figure out, like, what the lay of the land is, basically. So it's a really interesting sneak and peek as Cade talks to you in your head and then has a fight with Eris in your head with you as you're doing this stuff. There's the stuff that you have to do to get a sword. Because guess what, guys? There's a sword-heavy weapon now. There's a sword-heavy weapon.
Oh, you mean like the Sword of Crota?
Yes, but this is now a permanent sword that you can have.
I can has now?
Yes, and it acts as a heavy weapon. And so the amount of swings that you have with your heavy weapon sword is controlled basically by, like, bullets. So you pick up ammo packs that right
allow
now
you
the
to
sword...
Swing it.
Yeah, the sword that I have, because it each of the swords has elemental effects. So when you complete all the things that you need to complete... In order to get said sword, you get the choice of getting one that does solar damage, arc damage, or void damage. And it's just based off of what you want. You get to pick which one you want. And then you can level it up. And there are other swords down the road that you can also get a hand on, but they come from doing specific missions. I love the fact that I can look at quests and see exactly what steps I need to do and exactly what rewards I will get for completing this thing. So there are some that are like, yeah, if you do this, you're going to get an exotic Engram. And I'm like, what? Like, no bullshit. You're getting an exotic. Or if you do this, you're going to end up with a legendary that's going to be a heavy weapon upgrade. And I'm like, so I know I'm going to get a heavy weapon purple. That's awesome. I don't need a perp heavy, so I don't have to do this. So I can put it in abandoned quests, and it will sit over there. Right now, I have 2 pages of quests going on. Because I was like, I don't want to put anything else in my abandoned quests. Because the abandoned quest list is getting too big. Because you can carry a shit ton of quests and not abandon them. But if you abandon them, they sit over in that abandoned little kiosk and you can go back to them later.
And so all the kiosks look like iPhones.
They do. And so if you want to keep your list really short, you can. But I have 2 pages of quests right now going on. I'm tracking 3 so I can see them in my HUD at any point in time. And I just, there's so much going on that I now have to be much more thoughtful about my Destiny time. Like, when I turn on, I'm like, okay, so I want to pick and I want to finish off these 2 quests. And I'm already on step 6 for this one. So I know I only have 2, possibly 3 more, because most quests are between 8 and 9 steps that you have to do to complete them. So I'm like, oh, so I only have 1 or 2 more steps that I have to do, and then this one's done, so I'll get that reward. And then maybe I'll pick up a couple of bounties because I need some XP, and then I should be good if I do those things. And even in doing those things, there's still 15 other things that are still on my screen left to do. So it's a lot of content, and it's a great reuse of existing worlds and leveraging existing characters and really finally bringing out the lore that they've been working on and have had available in Grimoire, bringing it to life through the way that they're using the Vanguards. I'm really enjoying my gameplay. Like, before, Destiny was just the, it's a thing that I go into because I'm having a bad day and I just want to shoot some shit. And I can successfully shoot some shit in this game. And every once in a while, some of my friends will pop in, so we'll talk and it'll be real nice. And now it's like, no, I've got, like, shit to do. And I want to get it done because I want to see what I'm going to get and how different people find different things. And there's already an exploit right now that I'm trying to take advantage of, because if you do it right, you just be popping exotic Engrams like they're candy. So I'm trying to do that because I'm really trying to get some really good exotic chests for my characters. But Destiny is really fun again. And I think for anybody coming into the game right now at Taken King, there's just, it's going to be overwhelming by how much there is to do. But do it all. Like, explore all the DLC stuff that you have at your advantage. go ahead, feel free to burn some things from your vault. It's cool. You're not going to infuse everything because infusing stuff costs you not only legendary marks, but also an exotic shard. So, like you thought, or I thought, I was going to be infusing all my old perps into my new
weapon. Not right away, you're not.
Nope. So go ahead, burn them. Burn anything under 170. Go ahead, do it. You'll want the motes that you'll get and the weapon stuff, so... But Destiny with the Taken King is really, really enjoyable. I've loved the game before the King came out, and I'm really fucking loving it right now. And the people that I'm playing with are so cool. And the people that I'm bouncing into, like, it's pulled some people out of PvP to go into PvE to try and get legendary marks. Because all gear now costs legendary.
Yep.
So I don't have to go into PvP to get PvP gear. I can just be really, really awesome at PvE, get a shit ton of legendary marks, and buy the same gear that those Crucible people get. The only thing that is special for them is that there are certain things that you only get is drops in the Crucible that are ridiculous gear. So still, even for those people who are like bananas awesome at PvP, there's something still in there for you. But there's plenty of stuff still in for people who like PvE. My favorite thing is right now that's new, Kazur, the salesman who comes on the weekends, they've changed him up a little bit. Things to be mindful of is that Xur sells a legacy
engram, which are
It's a year one exotic at year one damage. So it's
really, if you're going for that, then you're really all you're doing is essentially
trying to be a completionist.
Yeah.
To try and get the ones that you didn't get as pickups.
And then he, at least for this first viewing, he had a armor exotic glove. Then he had another.
That is a new exotic. Yep, new. Year two exotic.
And then there was a year two exotic gauntlet that anyone could wear. It wasn't class specific. And then there was an exotic engram for a helmet, which I bought today. And it is also a year two with a 290 defense, which is wonderful. But 8 for a hunter.
So you can put it on your hunter.
When my hunter is big enough.
Yep.
She will have an awesome year two helmet.
Which helmet is it?
It was the something knockback or the...
The knucklehead?
Yeah.
That's a great helmet for a hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll like that. So basically it lets you, when you're aiming your primary
weapon. Right now in my vault I have gear for a hunter, because I was holding on to a bunch of it when I'd get it. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, there's a couple things I want to say about Xur, and this is one that I don't think a lot of people paid attention to, but it's part of the exploit that I'm running right now, and I'm sure that Bungie is going to fix it, but until then, it's still something that you're going to want to try yourself and pick up for sure. So Xur is selling, like I said, the Legacy Engram. He has an Engram for a Titan, for a Hunter, and for a Warlock, and then there's the exotic engram that is a helmet that is, you know, pick of the litter. So it's random when you turn it into the Cryptarch. Then he has the normal curios, heavy weapons, ammo synthesis, special weapon synthesis, the two different coils that make your sparrow go faster. And then he has a new thing that's called the Key of Three, Coin of Threes.
I think it's Coin of Threes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Coin of Threes costs 7 strange coins. Buy it. You get 5 in a pack. If you have enough strange coins to get a couple of packs, get a couple of packs. Because here's what the coin does. When you are fighting a boss or a character, I should say a boss, that is going to have a yellow bar. If you pop one of these coins, it increases the chance of when you defeat said boss, of boss dropping an exotic engram.
Oh my god, done fucking deal.
Okay, now it doesn't mean it's going to happen every time.
But there's a chance.
Correct. There's an exploit that's already been found. And I'm sure by the time you guys get this podcast, it will have been fixed. Who knows? But if not, try this shit out. So there's a mission called the Scourge of Winter. I think it's on Venus. And it was the one where you take out the Kel at the back of the...
Yes, the Kel of Kels, yes.
Which ended up not being the Kel of Kels because Skolas thought he was the Kel of Kels. But anyway, Drex is in the back of the ship. So, if you run through the mission, and right before you go into his stage, you pop one of the coins, you take out your sniper, Hey, how you doing, Icebreaker, who replenishes his bullets? You basically snipe the guy, the boss, as much as you can to get him down to a sliver of where a single rocket launcher shot would kill him. You whip out your rocket launcher, you go straight up to him, and you blunt force hit him with your
rocket launcher. In the nuts.
Which will kill him and you. And as he's dying, drop the engram, and you restart the mission right back outside the door.
Oh, and you can farm it.
Yep. So you pop coin, repeat, and pretty much...
loot cave.
Loot cave for exotic engrams.
That is cheap, but gorgeous.
But gorgeous. So I've already got two exotic engrams out of it. And I got one legendary out of it. So I got a cape for my hunter. I got a Crest of the Alpha Lupi, which is an exotic year two version of it for my hunter. And I got a helmet, Mask of the Third Man, out of it. So if you can do it, the extra weight, do it.
Just do it!
But if you can't, the three of coins is still a really good thing to have to be able to pop because it will increase the ability for a yellow guy to drop an exotic engram. So if you're trying to be about that exotic life, three of coins is a damn fine thing to have. I think for anyone going into, like, weeklies, it's a must because you pop that right before you go into the boss battle. You can probably get an exotic drop out of your weekly and out of your nightfalls, which makes them even more interesting. So the team at Bungie has really added a lot of interesting things to Taken King, and I think it's addressed a lot of the negative criticism that the game has gotten from a big chunk of game media, as well as the community. I think it addresses a big chunk of what a lot of people were unhappy with the game. It's still not perfect, but man, oh man, I'm telling you, Taken King is, like, legit. Okay. Legit. Totally worth the $40 if you already had it. If you didn't, go out and get it. If you already had it, you could be like one of my homeboys and still trade in a bunch of stuff and go and buy the new PlayStation, the branded one, the white one that came with additional extra stuff plus all the DLC. You could do that. Even if you already had the special edition Batman one, you could go out and buy another PlayStation. You could do that. I didn't do that, but you could, because it's legit enough to. I really wanted to because it comes with a replica Strange Coin, but I was like, nah, can't justify that expenditure. So Taken King gets two thumbs up from me. Definitely this holiday would not suck as a gift at all. So that's what I got for my Destiny episode about the Taken King. Really enjoying it. Gonna make Panda play with me more.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of stuff to do, sis.
I know.
And we gotta get it all done before Tomb Raider comes out. Because then I'm gonna be on that Tomb Raider, though.
Me too.
Because that Tomb Raider, though. So definitely check it out. Check out some of the video playthroughs if you hadn't had a chance. Go to Bungie.net and check out the Twitch streams that the guys did, walking you through all the new stuff that's gonna be in Taken King. If that doesn't sell you, nothing will. So then it's not the game for you. But man, oh man, if you have been pumped about any of the things that we've said up till now, then you should definitely be playing this game. And hopefully I'll see you out there. So this is the point on the show where I go, if you don't have anything else to bring to the table,
nope,
then I guess it's time for me to start telling you guys about all the wonderful ways that you can check out the stuff that we're writing, talking about, doing, all the goings-ons that's goings-ons. And that's at our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll find the podcast there, stuff that the team has been writing, reviews, previews on all things that are nerdy, geek, and awesome. Games, anime, manga, TV, you name it, we're talking about it. If it's worth talking about, it's going to be on the website. Like I said, our podcast is there. New episodes go out every single week. You can also get our podcast in the iTunes application, either on your desktop through the music store or on your iOS device using the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe. You'll get our brand new episodes the moment we put it out on the web. You can also find it in the Microsoft Store. We're also on Stitcher Radio. Pretty much anything that carries podcasts, you'll be able to find our podcast on. And if not, then let them know that you want them to carry the Eshcast so you can listen to us there. And they'll probably hook it up because we're pretty decent. People are pretty decent for the most part. We can make that happen. also Making It Happen are some of the other great shows that are part of our family of publications that go out every week. I love KBD, King Baby Duck, over at b3crew.com. If you're into stuff that is indie, that is obscure but still cool and hip and just plain fun, then make sure that you check out No Borders, No Rays, his weekly podcast over at b3crew.com. On Wednesdays, still on hiatus, you know, marital life, it's a something beautiful. But if you're looking for great mixes of music to work out to, you need beats for your feet, then definitely check out Geek Aggro. Great mixes put down everything in EDM, trance, house, deep house. So awesome. So many good grooves. And then, coming back soon on Thursdays, Recap This, Recap That. Right now, you can still find all the archive shows, previously known as The Issues Program, hosted by The Issues Guy at issuesprogram.com. But we've got some new stuff coming from him soon, including the rebrand. And then, as always, new to the fam, but not to the game, The Structure Network at thestructurenetwork.com. Everything in nerddom is covered, guys. Wrestling, video games, anime, TV, movies, Hero Crate unboxes, Loot Crate unboxes, like just unboxes on unboxes on unboxes. Proven Gamers brought their show over there. Fat Guy Movie Critic has his stuff over there. Like, it's crazy all the stuff that is happening at the Structure Network. It is the mecca. You need to go there. Check it out. Let them know that we sent you. So with that, it's the time of the podcast where I go, all right, I'm done pimping stuff. Sis, what shit you digging this week?
Destiny.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say it.
I knew. You knew I was going to say that.
Well, you're not just saying it for my benefit. You actually enjoyed it.
I am. Yes, and what about you?
Well, the easy one to say is Destiny. But ultimately what I'm enjoying is really creativity in video games. There's a lot that's going on between stuff that we saw at BFIG and things that are coming from demos that we had at E3 this holiday. Just, there's a lot of creativity going on in the gaming sphere, and I'm really digging that across all platforms and all game types. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Stay blessed.